Welcome to today's Mentor Moment. Today, your mentor is David Jelly, the founder of Property Bridges. Here is 10 minutes of our most impactful insights from David.
You've probably seen this though with Property Bridges. Like, what do you think it is? Why do you think people, especially people in Ireland, I think, don't actively engage more in their finances?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think the first thing to mention is, I think there's 150 billion sitting in bank accounts at the minute.
In Ireland,
yeah.
150 billion.
Yeah. So I think on a European-wide basis, it's trillions sitting just in bank accounts. So that's dormant money.
Sitting as cash, in current accounts, savings accounts, whatever.
Sitting as cash, not doing anything. And, Charlie Munger, the famous investor, like he would say, like, show me the incentive and I'll show you the behavior.
Oh, I love that phrase. It's one of my, I use... Yeah. I repeat myself on it all the time because I try make myself think about it.
Yeah.
And I try have incentives that I'm kind of almost forced to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think tax is a big thing. I think tax on investment is penal at the minute.
Yeah.
So you're like capital gains tax 33%, going right up to 50% if it's income tax. So the incentive for people to invest just isn't there. So I think it's number one. I think culturally as well, I think people are used to, or people like the safety of a bank, a deposit account, getting a couple of percent. People don't like taking the risk. And I also think there's a lack of options out there. Like if you look at the Irish stock market at the moment, like a lot of Irish companies are delisting on the Irish Stock Exchange and So there'll be a lack of options and, as you say, accessibility. So, if you're in the old world, like if you're with AB and you're, if you're trying to set up a stockbroking account, a number of years ago, that would have been difficult. But I think the younger generation now are kind of getting used to Giro, trading 212, like Revolut. So if you're banking on Revolut, you can just click a button, you can invest in the stock market, like, quite simply.
That's what I literally said to people. I was like, look, let's just use Revolut for the first month or two to keep it simple.
Yeah.
It couldn't be easier.
Yeah.
It's like, it really couldn't. Like, for good or for bad, like, it really couldn't be easier. Like, it's really interesting the way you break it down there. Like, is it that we don't have a culture of investing as well? Like we're a relatively new country in essence in terms of, like, having a bit of money. I think Ireland was piss poor until, like, the 80s, 90s. Like, 90s, really. So, like, there probably isn't that generational wealth when you think about it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It depends it also depends on the demographic you're looking at. I think there's 150 billion sitting in bank accounts. I'd like to know, what the age of those people are that are sitting on most 150 million. I definitely think the investing depends on your situation. So if you're, a young guy or girl, you're trying to get in the property ladder and you've got a few grand in the bank and you're trying to scrape together a deposit, 50 grand, 70 grand to get in the property ladder, you're going to make speculative investments because making 5%, 10% on your money a year, you're looking at it going, it's going to take me 20 years to get a deposit together. I think if you're sitting on a few million, and this is kind of what we've learned and since we set up Property Bridges, like if you're sitting on a few million or whatever it is, like getting 8%, 9%, 10% on your money with a good degree of certainty and protecting the downside risk by holding security over the property, that's a great return for people. So it just all depends on your situation.
It is funny, isn't it? Like it's the incentives thing, isn't it? Like, why is there so much cash? Like, why is there so much cash sitting there?
I think there was a lot more cash after COVID. I don't know why I don't know what the reserves were pre-COVID, but certainly since COVID, the amount of money sitting on deposit spiked massively.
Have people stopped spending? Are people scared?
I think it's cultural as well. I think, like, I was at a conference, a crowdfunding conference last week in Brussels, and a guy I was chatting to said that I think the average Italian might save 25% of their wages, where the average American will only save 3% of their wages, but there might be a portion of their wages that they'll invest as well. But I think a large part of it is cultural.
That's really interesting. Actually, I was in Spain last week, and I was in down in Marbella, like, and the money down there is just, and I actually went down that rabbit hole in my head going, where has all this money come from?
Yeah.
Mainly drugs, probably, in Marbella. But yeah, when you look at the generational wealth, I joke, but it's serious. Yeah. Like, when you look at the generational wealth as well, like, huge mix of cultures. So Italians, Scandinavians is huge down there. You can see it was generational.
Yeah.
You can just tell, like, you have the mum and the dad who are in their 60s, 70s, like, they've got the rich person tan.
It's old money.
Yeah, older money. And then you've got the younger generation coming through. But culturally, it's there. You can see that that's instilled in them. Like, So how do we change that? How do we change that in Ireland if people are listening? Like, what do we need to do?
I think financial education. I think, you know, nowadays it's so easy to go on to YouTube or to read a book and to educate yourself in the financial markets. I think there's a lot of noise in the sector as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to critically think about it as well. Like, there's a lot of people, you know, trying to sell you the dream of, you know, get rich quick.
That's the issue, isn't it? It kind of attracts these bogeymen of, like, people are so terrified of being scams because it does attract the kind of shiny characters, doesn't it? Like,
yeah. But like, I would encourage people to invest, because that's how you learn. So, you know, if you're in your 20s, like, you know, open a trading account, like, buy a few stocks, like, learn about it, like, invest what you're prepared to lose. But at least when you're in the game, you're learning.
Yeah.
But I do think something needs to be done with the tax rate. I think it's far too penal.
I don't sell because I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because I think, why am I investing if I'm then going to try sell out? Cause then try, like, it's too much to think about.
Yeah.
So I just invest. I don't think about selling. Even if I think there's a better opportunity, I just don't think about selling because I don't want to have to deal with all that.
Yeah. But there's I think the government have brought out a rule that if you own an ETF for 8 years, you have to automatically sell, or you're automatically taxed on your holding. So
that's insane.
It disincentivizes long-term investing.
Stuff like that, you just kind of go, why?
Yeah, I think we're a mature enough country now. We've got, you know, for the first time, the country, like, has money. The citizens, like, have money. Like, if you look at America, I think the capital gains tax in America, I think you've got a 50 grand kind of threshold, and then over 50 grand you pay 15% capital gains.
Okay.
And then over 500 grand you pay 20% capital gains. I think the threshold in Ireland's something like 1300 quid. Like,
What are you selling?
Like, you know, what are you going to do?
Sell a good laptop.
Yeah.
And more than that.
And like, places like Singapore, you know, there's no tax. So, you know, there's a peer-to-peer company we know in Singapore that would have started kind of after us, and they're absolutely flying. So a lot of their citizens, just cultural, and also it's incentivized to invest as well. So, you know, we struggle with that. So I think it's all.
Are we at risk of people leaving? Because, like, people are far more mobile after COVID.
Mm.
Like, when I look around the streets, now we talked about Dublin and we'll talk about it again in a couple of minutes, but there's not a lot of young faces. It's something I've noticed in the last, like, 6 months. Like, obviously the colleges are back now, so you've got the kind of, like, people from 18 to 22. Say from 22 to 35, I'm not seeing many of those knocking around. And anecdotally, you're kind of hearing of people, like, moving to Dubai, moving to Australia. It's like the old days of, like, going to London, going to America, like the old cliche days of, like, oh, going abroad to make it. But, like, are we at risk of people, like, another brain drain?
I think, I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, I went away in my 20s for a few years. You know, lots of my friends did like we all came back. Mm. I think that's been in the mindset for a long time. But I think there's still a lot of opportunities here, like more so than there's ever been. Okay. You know, you've got a lot of good employment here, a lot of good jobs. Like, you know, we see it when we're going out to try and find good young people to join the company. Like, it can be hard to get, you know, young kind of Irish talent to join like a small startup because they're off trying to get jobs with the Facebooks, the Googles, the Amazons.
Is that a problem? You're not the first entrepreneur to bring that up.
I don't think it's a problem. I think when I was young, that's what I would have been doing. Like, you want to work for a good brand. Like, it is good for your career if you've spent a couple of years in a brand that people recognize.
But is that a problem for people like you, like founders who are early enough stage that mightn't have the capital, brand equity? Like, are you struggling to get talent?
I think that I wouldn't say we're struggling to get talent. There's talent out there. There is talent out there. It's just, yeah, like we're out in Sandyford at the minute. So, and we're maybe looking at taking on a few people. So we are looking at, well, if we're in town, would it be easier to attract talent?
I didn't want to slander Sandyford there, but it's grim enough.
So Sandyford's been good to us, but yeah, we're looking at things like that, making the office a nicer environment, spending a few quid in the office.
Well, if you're going to have to come in, people do want it to be nice now.
Exactly.
We've kind of got spoiled. Yeah. Like, we do kind of want like the bells and whistles now.
Yeah.
I've chatted to a lot of founders and they're all saying that. They're like, yeah, look, we're going to stay hybrid, obviously. But when we want people to come in, we do realize we have to like step it up now.
Yeah.